Good evening. Good evening, listeners. This is the Brothers Podcast. I guess I'm the professor. I don't know why they call me the professor. They got more degrees than I do. But I'm the professor. All the way from the Charm City, the beautiful city of Baltimore, Maryland. And I know some of y'all might disagree, but hey, it is what it is. I'm here with you tonight. And my brother all the way from the first state, the Diamond State. All the way from Wilmington, Delaware. We got Dre. Say hello to the people, Dre.
What's going on, Blog Talk? What's going on, people? I hope everybody's having an awesome spring so far.
I am. Only thing I'm not having such an awesome time with is these doggone allergies.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about those. Between allergies and then the amount of time it takes to wipe my car off every day.
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel bad for all of you all with cars. I don't have a car. But listen, I feel bad. When I get one, I'm gonna be crying.
Yeah,
I know it.
It's a headache. Like every day, you gotta wipe your car off, and you. I just got my car detailed, so you know, wash, wax, completely cleaned. It was so sparkling clean. Woke up the next morning, it literally my car was green from pollen.
Violent. My goodness.
It's a complete thing.
All right, bro. So I think we're going to... Oh, and we want to shout out our brother in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The doctor, Javon Ramon Bertrand, and his absence.
The author.
The author
and finisher of my show. Bro,
yeah,
we miss
so
you on here. Hopefully you
we miss you.
You bump in tonight just to say hello to the people and greet the people. A lot of people have been asking, where's the third brother? We're not hearing him, but he is definitely getting well, and we so miss him on the show.
Yes, we do. All right, bro. So we've been absent for a couple of weeks. We just had to recover, enjoy spring break. As you know, we're in education. Oh, Dre and I are in education. So we needed some much needed downtime to recover and to kind of reflect and regroup. We
got
a lot of hot topics.
Ooh, it is a lot to cover.
There's a lot going on in the world.
Oh, my God. I don't understand.
So our first hot topic is, last week, Donald Trump has been, I'm going to say he was indicted on charges
You sound like you are in a ocean right now.
Okay, I'm not in the ocean. I'm out the ocean, okay? Am I still in the ocean?
No, you sound like you was trying to do like a Karen Clark Sheard move on me, like, you know. I want to say indicted.
I want to say indicted, but I wanted to be sure. Was he in?
He was indicted. He was indicted. What does this mean as it relates to Donald Trump? Ask me if I know, because the U.S. has completely confused me when it comes to Donald Trump compared to every other U.S. president that they had issues with, especially ones that was Democratic. But he was indicted. It's not. I mean, he was indicted by a Manhattan jury, more than 30 counts related to business fraud.
Yes, dating back to the issue with him paying off the porn star Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I was hearing, Donald Trump does not leave a paper trail. He doesn't leave a paper trail. So I think it's going to be kind of hard to trace things back to him unless people verbally say, yes, he paid, yes, he did do this, yes, he did do that. Because he does not leave a paper trail.
Yeah. You know, many are saying, you know, this is just a plot by President Biden. Many are saying that it's, you know, it's a plot by Democrats worldwide. I don't know if it's a plot or not. My biggest concern is that, it's this man running again. I'm not even going to hold you.
Of course he's going to run again.
He's going to definitely run again. Do I believe he needs to be able to run? Absolutely not. I really believe that something like this should disqualify him from running, but this is a personal charge. A personal criminal charge is not a presidential charge, per se, or a political charge, per se. Does it make him look bad? It does. But given his background, he's known for reality TV. So do y'all really think he's caring that you charged him? No. If he has to run from behind bars and sing, I Believe I Can Fly with R. Kelly, he's going to do it. The issue is, as an American citizen, how much more foolishness can we take? Because what we have to understand is the backlash of this is not the fact that it's affecting Democrat versus Republican. The backlash of this is it's making America look like idiots.
Right.
And so if you really want to be, you know, and let me just say this, I don't really even care if we vote and I'm a Biden fan, but I don't care if we vote for Biden next election or if we vote for a Democrat next election. The issue is just we don't need to vote for either if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I really feel like you need to stop in politics. Let's stop going after each other and go after what the causes really are. You know,
right.
we have kids getting shot for ringing the wrong doorbell. We have, I don't know about Maryland, but in Delaware, literally in 1 week in Delaware, we had 6 people missing. In 1 week,
mm-hmm.
You know, murder rates are skyrocketing, especially in Philadelphia. You know, what more needs to be done before politics stop becoming a tit for tat? You did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you game. Let's start doing what you guys are being paid all these good 5 and 6 figures to accomplish.
Right.
You know, so as Americans, I feel like if we stop worrying about who's in charge and worry about if they're getting their job done, we might be able to knock some things down truthfully. Like that America's divided like the church because we're worried about the wrong things, period.
Right. I think that's interesting you say that because I feel like every year I feel like the candidates for president just gets worse and worse. And the year we elected Donald Trump proved it to me that people vote on are voting popularity or they're just voting for what makes sense to them. Because Donald Trump did not make sense in a real world. And I'm interested in knowing why people are voting the way they are. Again, I'm quite sure there was a better Republican challenger than Trump, which, if you all recall, Trump in his early days
Trump was a Democrat. He was not a Republican.
Yeah.
He did switch parties as he got older.
But I just find it interesting that he would run for president and that he would win. So, I feel like, again, it is crazy for what we're choosing, who we're choosing to run for president, who we're choosing to be the best candidate from both parties. And I think that in his 4 years in office, all he did was stir up trouble.
Absolutely.
And never really did anything worthwhile. So,
no.
Why would people reelect him again for the crazy? I just feel like for the craziness of it all, that's why they would reelect him again. Just for the
craziness. Well, if you think about it, you know, we live in a reality TV world at this point.
Right.
And when you have a reality TV star causing reality TV ratchet, it's going to get reality TV attention.
Right.
You know, and what sucks about it is he used the attention to do exactly what he said he was going to do, which is tear the country apart and change the history books of the country. And so, you know, when they create the history books for 10 to 20 years from now, you know, they would be able to say that, America, we voted for the worst president in the history of the world, not even the country.
Right.
Worse than Putin, worse than whoever had Africa before Mandela, worse than the decision that the king made to leave someone who's close to death in charge of a country. No disrespect to those who live in London or England. just worse. It's the worst thing that anyone has ever decided to do. Including ignore the fact that the King James Bible was written by a man who was in the closet.
Let's see what else happened. You had all these topics yesterday. What you got for us today?
Well, the big thing today that's going on is the fact that Jonathan Majors has parted ways with his talent manager, Entertainment 360, and his PR firm, the lead company. It was done very quietly, but it has come to the table, and it's crazy. He has these domestic violence charges, which we do understand, and his lawyers did a very stupid move by releasing text messages that complicated everything even more. So he needs to really—he should have started with firing his legal department. But he's now has been dropped by his talent management as it relates to this arrest, and his PR firm also parted ways with him, and Valentino has mutually decided with Jonathan Majors that he will not attend the Met Gala as one of its guests. And the U.S. Army pulled its multi-million-dollar ad campaign with Majors. So this cat has lost cake behind
it. And it looks like Marvel is about to cut ties with him. They're looking to recast his character, Kang the Conqueror. I read that as well. I don't know the extent of what has happened to I thought that he was going to be okay because of the recan and all this other things. So it's coming out in the wash. And unfortunately, this is the thing that's so This is the thing about being a star, and you're moving up in your stardom, and then a bump happens, and now you have this stigma attached to you, just like Jussie Smollett.
Is it really a bump, though, bro? Like, do you really think this is a bump, or do you really think this is like, oh my God, this is like one negative thing? Like, this is domestic violence. Like, this, the picture.
I don't think it's a bump, but I think that what happens is with people of color or movie celebrities, they get these cases against them, they get these things that happen to them, and they don't really recover. And so now it starts to affect, because their role is movie. Their role is to be on TV shows. And when you lose your PR firm, when you lose your talent agent, when you lose those people, you're losing money.
Absolutely.
Because now you don't have the representation, and it's hard, and then it's hard to find representation due to the fact now you are not represented by anyone. No one's going to offer you jobs. No one's going to offer you much of anything, and it's going to weigh heavily on his career. So basically, he was a rising star, and now he's a falling star.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I you know what I say? If you're going to be a celebrity, learn to keep your anger under control and your hands to yourself. Furthermore, also learn to get away, because from what a lot of people are now saying is this was a targeted move to ruin his career by his girl, you know. So also learn who you're dealing with. And brothers,
right,
go find you a sister. You know, she might have ruined your car. She might have jacked up your house, but she ain't going to ruin your money.
She ain't going to mess with your money. She is not going to mess with your money.
Like, I just feel like if y'all leady, if y'all stop, every time somebody get famous, first thing they do is go get them this ugly-looking Caucasian chick who ain't the best-looking, but because she somehow appeared on an ad, I guess that makes her needed and wanted. And every time y'all get these needed and wanted, y'all get the Kardashian treatment. I'm going to need y'all to learn some things here in Hollywood.
But the unfortunate thing, even with Jussie Smollett, it wasn't a woman. It was
Jussie Smollett.
It was Jussie Smollett. So and we need to deal. This is what we need to. And I think this is what needs to happen in Hollywood. Is I think what you're saying is very true. I also believe is the other thing that we need to is teach these black actors and actresses how to conduct themselves and how to basically, we need black PR firms to represent them.
No,
and
but
I feel
he should
like
know how to conduct himself. His mother's a pastor. He should know how to conduct himself. When he was going, this is the reason I say that, because when he was on Sherry, if you watch his interview on Sherry, he was very, I don't do that. I'm saved. I can't do much. I'm saved. And in less than 1 week from his interview on Sherry, he was arrested. The reason I say it the way I said it is, he should know right from wrong, yes, but don't put on a facade.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
You're this clean-cut person that you know you're not.
Right.
That's like them first ladies that they about to find on this Freaknik documentary. You cannot play with under. Don't act like your life has always been clean, baby.
And these
pastors,
something
dirty gonna pop up.
And these pastors too. Oh, this Freaknik
documentary. Listen, these pastors, these bishops, apostles, these archbishops. Oh, their background is about to pop when this Freaknik documentary airs, and I'm here for it.
And I want to say I was not at Freaknik, so you won't see me, because I was a Paul College student, and I did not go to Freaknik.
I ain't go to Freaknik, but they do a South Beach documentary. I might be in trouble.
Yeah, I did not go to Freaknik. I was a poor college student. Not, but I remember Freaknik. I remember, you know, going, hearing about it. I actually had, what was funny is one of my cousins posted on Facebook the other day that she attended Freaknik. And I was just surprised. I was surprised that my cousin, that I actually had an actual cousin that went to Freaknik. So I actually want to get my cousin on this podcast and have her share her experience.
Freaknik podcast. Let's go.
I am down. And I want some other folks to share that experience with Freaknik, but you know, just don't be scared.
But here's my thing. Now, if they do a documentary on Freaknik and you show up on the video, do you get paid for that?
You don't get paid for that. They're not going to get paid.
I mean, you know, if you're going to show my likeness on film, I should have a check for my likeness.
But I wonder how many people did they interview and say, hey, we're going to be on this. We would like to interview you for Freaknik because we're doing a documentary about Freaknik.
Right. I'm down.
Yeah.
What you got?
Now, I was going to talk about our two the causes of death of our black actors, Julio and Michael K. Williams. It seems that they both overdosed. There was an overdose for Michael K. Williams. It was he had heroin, fentanyl. It was a couple of things, and there was a cocktail. fentanyl, heroin, and something else. While Julio has fentanyl, heroin, and methamphetamine. Michael Williams had,
Julio also have cocaine in his system, too?
Who, Julio?
Yeah.
That might have been the methamphetamine. I don't know. We're not doctors. So don't pass on. We're not doctors, okay? So Michael Williams, it was fentanyl plus fluorine, fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine. Michael K. Williams had heroin, cocaine, fluorine, fentanyl, and fentanyl. And he overdosed on that. And Coolio had fentanyl, heroin, and methamphetamine.
I say just call me later. Hey, when y'all folk gonna stop doing these drugs? Like y'all see what they doing? Not just to y'all see first of all what they doing in your community, and you still buying them as a celebrity. Now listen, there used to be a day when celebrities had good, they had the good drugs. They had the pure drugs. Y'all go from doing pure drugs to street drugs. And you a whole celebrity. You're not a half a celebrity. You a celebrity with cake. And the best you can give yourself is a street drug. I need y'all to get your lives together in the entertainment industry as a whole. I'm going to need you to get your lives together. And this is for everything, for acting, for music, for everything. I can, you know, street drugs, different story, because some of these crackheads in these streets, they don't know no better. You know, but what are these agencies doing? These people who are representing these celebrities. Where is the professional training at? There has to be a list of you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this. If you trying to kick a habit, let me help you kick the habit. The open one. I can take that one. I'll leave it down here.
I would agree with you, but I think that, of course, you know, when you look at their adults, when you look at that piece, and you look and you say, listen,
he tried to kick. They're not looking at the fact that they're adults.
If I stop you from getting high, I'm ruining my money. Let's just call a spade a spade. Whitney Houston's sister-in-law included. Pat Houston, to me, is the biggest drug dealer in America history.
I'm not.
I don't care what nobody say. Yep, I'm going to call it out. I'm going to call it like I see it. That heifer, she is a contributor. She should be, when Whitney died, she should have been arrested for murder. Because she knows, you know what Whitney was doing, but why am I going to stop you from doing it? Knowing good and hell well, if I stop you from doing it, I'm stopping my cash flow. Because after all, you pay me.
I don't know. I don't know. Again, that's why I said we have to. This our actors, our black celebrities are so disenfranchised, and I feel like. Again, like you said, it's about finding money. It's about, listen, Hollywood, you big one. I still feel like Heidi Klum, like I used to watch, what's that show that Heidi Klum used to host? I'm not America's Next Top Model. The fashion show. Well, whatever. And she was always saying, and one day, just like fashion, one day you're in and one day you're out. And I feel like so many times our black actors, unless they have a good support system, the traps that are out there for them, one day they're in and one day they're out. And it's so sad because they're so talented. There is so many things that are happening to them that you see them rise and then you see them fall. So I think that just the representation is poor. It's piss poor. The reputation is piss poor. And I think we need to have more agents to say, more agency. More PR people to say, listen, if you're going to be on drugs, then I can't represent you. But if you're going to get off them and you're going to do what's right for you to live a healthy life, you just have to tell them like it is. Because they could be seen as a cash cow, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. A big cash
cow. You know, you're going to make me this money and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you going to make me this money and then, if you don't make this money, I'm gonna drop you within months. Like it's even with music artists. If they don't get a record or hit a top record in a certain amount of time, then the record companies drop them. Like, and they could have the best song, they could be top. Their first three albums was top, but if they're not pulling in the money, then
well, honey, something like I believe that they need to give more time to the music industry to create these hit records and stop trying to have them create hit records back to back to back to back, especially in a world where everything is being streamed now. You know, you would never get y'all trying to get me put off the air. But certain people who hold very high standards for themselves would never create another hit album the way that they created a hit album when they first dropped.
Right.
You know, and it is what it is, including the one who's followed by half of the rainbow community. It is what it is. And the sooner we accept it, the better off we'll be.
Who is that?
The one that I think the movie Swarmed was about.
Not tonight. We will not be stung by the beehive. No.
Your birthday album was hot. Your last album was not. But I'm just saying.
Well, it seems our brother Devon is on tonight with us.
I am.
Love is in the building.
What's up, my people?
What's going on, sir?
Not too much. Sorry, I'm late. I thought we were doing 8, not 7:30.
All good. We are happy to have you in the studio one more again.
Thank you.
Welcome, right, bro. You want to get into our topic, or you got one more?
Let's do one more. I got two more.
Okay.
So Fox News and Fox Corporation was sued for defamation by the voting system. They suckered out, like most Trump supporters do. But they suckered out for a very, very, very good amount, $787.5 million, dollars to be exact, averting this high-profile trial and putting one of the world's top media companies in crosshairs. Now, here's the question I have. We got them for defamation. When do we get Fox News and Fox Corporation for racism? That's all I want to know.
Good question.
Fox News has two purposes in life, and this is why I stopped watching Fox News, and I really, really, I have personally written into all black shows that air on Fox, including Sherry, including J-Hood, to not air on Fox, because Fox does two things. They disrespect the Democrats, and they disrespect anything that's black and brown. And I really feel like this is the first smack in the face that Fox needed to happen, and that should have been happening to Fox. Now, what I would love to see happen to Fox is I would love to see Fox people begin to shed more light on the wrong that Fox does. Even with the George Floyd trial, now even if you watch their newscast about this young man, Jarl, who has been who was just shot by the old head, that somehow only got a first degree assault charge instead of first degree murder because he got to the courthouse looking like he was three steps past the grave. I just believe that the way that they handle even the Black Lives Matter movement, by calling the Black Lives Matter movement a modern day KKK, was disrespectful. And I feel like we as a people need to start bringing this type of stuff to the attention of the American viewers for real.
Yes, we do. We do. I saw that they settled. I saw that the company, I did see the settlement.
$7.5 million. Listen, Linda, I'm going to call Dominion and ask Dominion, where is my cut? Because I voted.
Right.
I'm going to say, look, I voted and I used y'all machines. Can I get a check?
Right. I don't know when we're going to hold Fox accountable. I don't know when people are really going to call them on the carpet. The unfortunate thing is they have a right to report what they feel they have to, you know, what they feel is good reporting. That's the unfortunate part.
Did they really think they were good reporting now?
No. But that doesn't mean they don't have a right. And that's the unfortunate part, that we have that amendment in the Constitution.
Yeah, that Constitution just got booted to hell. That Constitution amendment got booted to hell, okay? Do we think it's time to maybe amend the U.S. Constitution?
It's been time to amend the U.S. Constitution.
No, like seriously though, do we think that that's something that needs to be looked at?
Yeah, I think so.
And if they do, would you participate if they put a committee together?
Sure. Do you want to tell me? Sure.
You know, like, we the fathers of our nation, maybe we need to do, like, maybe we the sons and daughters of this nation.
Yeah.
Because at this point, the it's looking like one nation under God, indivisible, and with liberty for all and justice for all who are not black.
We need to amend the Constitution. It needs to be looked at. I think we need to rewrite the Constitution. Let's rewrite the Constitution.
Did y'all know Netflix was being sued for $1 million?
No.
Who's being sued? What? Netflix is being sued for $1 million. Taylor Hazelwood said Netflix used one of his IG photos during a scene in The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker and described his picture as the look of a stone-cold serial killer.
Wow.
Oh, my. Didn't know that.
Yeah. That just dropped, according to Entrepreneur.com. This has just hit news. The Netflix filed the true story of a hitchhiker named Kai, which is whose real name is Caleb McGilvery, who became a viral sensation after he told news outlets he murdered a man with a hatchet to stop him from attacking a woman. 3 months after going viral, he was arrested for a different murder and later sentenced to 57 years in a New Jersey prison. Who knows? It was right by me. And here in this picture, there's a 2019 photo he posted of him holding a hatchet, and somehow it made its way into the film.
Oh.
Yeah. So, very, very interesting choice to use there, Netflix, as if y'all didn't just lose enough money fooling with Monique and her drama. And then lost even more when you put it on the airwaves and called it a comedy special. But anyway, on to tonight's topic.
Well, I chose tonight's topic, and I didn't choose it to start drama. So before we let's do the disclaimer, people. So this tonight's topic is about pulpit etiquette, and it deals with basically watching what we say over the pulpit, but not. I don't want it to sound like rhetoric. I want it to be an intelligent conversation, because the issue that I'm seeing is, first of all, we have social media. There's a bit preachers being profane, saying profane things. I didn't say custom. I'm learning to use my words, and it's profanity. Saying profane things, but not only saying profane things, but being just disrespectful of people, saying things that are not sound or biblically sound, or saying things that are uplifting, because that is what that time is used for. Having your own personal opinion or having opinions about things should for me, as I am a pastor, should not be said over the pulpit. I think those things should be said in context of outside of the pulpit. If you feel a certain type of way about a group of people, if you feel some way about people in general, then you should say that outside of the pulpit. Not in, like, your belief is your belief. What you believe is what you believe. No one's knocking that, because you are entitled to believe whatever you believe. But how we discuss it and how we're getting caught up is Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and these clips. Like, the clips are 2-3 minutes long, but it highlights the negative part of what you said. It's highlighting your negativity. And for some of it, I would like to know the preference of why you're saying what you're saying. I want to know the background of what you're saying. You know, I want to know these things because I want to know what not to do over the pulpit. I want to know how to not say certain things. So I think that, you know, we have to be careful with using that platform. We use other platforms. You have other platforms. You have, like we're doing, we have a blog. We have Blog Talk Radio. We have a, blogging. We have, I'm sorry, my brain is not functioning at the level which I like, would like for it to function tonight. I'm forgetting words. Podcast. We have podcasts. You have all of these other outlets to express yourself. So But why is it that we're using the pulpit to express ourselves in this manner? In this manner. And then you have to come back and apologize. Then you have to come back and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry for what I said. For some people, they don't even say they were sorry. They just be like, I said what I said. Like, NeNe Leakes, I said what I said. And that's fine. That's fine. Like, you're entitled to that. But why do we have to, why we keep doing it in the place that's supposed to be uplifting, encouraging? You're supposed to come to the church to be uplifted, encouraged. You're supposed to come to the church to be empowered and challenged. So I want to know what my brothers think about using the pulpit and what is pulpit etiquette and what to say and what not to say. So I want to get your thoughts. And if you're listening, you want to call in, call in line is 319-527-6083. That's 319-527-6083. We want to hear your opinions. We want to hear your thoughts on tonight.
I love it. I'm going to let you go first on that.
I think that many of us don't know what to do in the pulpit. One, because we've never had any training. Two, we think how we talk in our everyday life is pulpit etiquette. And I'm not saying that we all use profanity or we all do things inappropriately, but for those of us that do, we do it everywhere because we call it transparency. We do it everywhere because we call it being real. If you can't handle what I say, you not my people. Well, part of your people would know your language. And if your language is inappropriate, you don't know your people. Just because, you know, you are the prophet doesn't mean you get to become a boxer 10 minutes later, because in the sense of being real, I'm going to get you. I'm coming for that A and all that foolishness. But now you've had to come back and deal with that, but you still lost people. And the people you think you gained are going to be the people that beat you.
I definitely agree with that.
I think that we all need to look at what we're putting out, whether it's live or not, but especially if it's live, because if it's live, you don't have time to edit it. You can't go back and look at, well, what happened in the moment? What did I say in the moment? It's already out there. And even if you take it down, somebody didn't already snapshot it. They didn't already grabbed it to use it, because most people that are trying to get you don't utilize full context. They only take the part that either they were offended by or they think they can take you down, and nobody goes back and look at the whole of what was said.
Right.
So we need to be very careful of how we utilize what we call a sacred death, because if it's sacred, we should treat it as such.
That's yeah. There used to be a time when they would teach you, when you step behind the sacred desk, preach Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, I'm saying, I feel a lot of our issue started with man-made doctrine. And the reason I say that is because we have, especially, I can't say all churches, but especially in the Black church, we have based our entire focus on what somebody else believed. And half the time didn't even use Bible to back up their beliefs. I feel that we have taken so many things out of context, and because it was, we don't really read and comprehend the Bible for ourselves. We preach recycled messages that we heard and we grew up on. Henceforth on why there are so many leaders who don't believe in women in the pulpit. Henceforth on why there are so many leaders who don't believe in being married to one wife and being okay with that. So you have to have your wife who gets the glory of the church, but then you have the secretary on the side. Henceforth on why we have these cussing preachers in the pulpit. Because many of them walked off the street on Tuesday and was ordained a pastor on Wednesday and consecrated bishop on Friday and became apostle on Sunday. So there's no training. There's no proper training. When we do train, especially if you're one of these political churches, you don't teach them leadership skills. You teach them the doctrine of the church. You don't teach them what to do and what not to do. You teach them how to escort the bishop down the aisle. You teach them how to march the choir around the church. You teach them how to decorate the altar. You teach them how to, and then we send them to school and we act like it's the school's job to do our job as leaders. And then when we ask the people, well, why aren't you training? They say, well, when I became a preacher, I had to go to school. You know, why should I make someone waste $20,000 if I'm saying that, if I'm validating the fact that they have a calling on their life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have been called to be the shepherd, does the shepherd not teach the sheep how to mandate the field correctly, how to graze? Like, do they not make sure that the sheep are doing their job correctly while they're in the pasture? How can sheep be got sheep if my shepherd don't even help me identify if I'm in the correct part of my pasture?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that the first mistake is, as leaders, we've given everybody, we have given too many people the right to do our jobs. We send them to everybody else's leadership conference because we don't want to host one because it's not drawing thousands of people. We send them to everybody else's shut-in because we don't want to host one because I'm going to miss what's going on in my neighborhood. We send them to everybody else's training because I don't want to sit at the feet of God and hear the voice of God to create, you know, a training that is specifically aimed and geared to my house. And so what we have now is a bunch of duplications, replications, and we have a lot of illegitimacy behind what we call a church.
Right.
You know, and I'm a heavy preacher. Don't get it wrong. I preach to the people at the level that they are, but I do it without disrespect. And I do it without ignorance, because after all, the Bible says to use salt when we preach. You know, salt is a very unique flavoring, because if you use too much, you just injured somebody.
Right.
So if you don't know how to use salt, your food might not turn out as good as you think it tastes.
Right.
So I feel like that's the issue in today's church. Is you can tell the church, you know, I don't like pastors who, I have a thing against pastors who feel like school is the answer to everything. Because truth be told, seminary should only teach you how to read. It should teach you how to understand what you're reading and how to prepare. You know, but it doesn't teach you how to govern. It's not going to teach you how to do things according to the protocol of your house, because at the end of the day, it's your house. I can send somebody to any school to learn etiquette. But as it relates to my pulpit, this is how we do things in my house.
and my house don't look like Stevenson's house. You know, greater experience don't look like Citadel Champions. Greater experience doesn't look like, you know, Javon's church. You know, greater experience doesn't look like the Potter's house. It looks like greater experience. And so, you know, I can't teach my people based off of how they do things at somebody else's house. And I don't want them to go to school because then I'm teaching them a generic way to learn what they need to learn from me because I'm too lazy to teach my people. But the excuses we give everyone is this is what they did when I grew up. This is what they did when I was little. This is how all the preachers came through the pulpit. When does somebody make a change to what has always been done and never worked?
That part.
So it goes to show this is why there's people who will never accept members who don't do what they want them to do or members that they can't control in the church because it's never been done. And this is how I grew up. And what bothers me is the very things that we're doing in the pulpit today and that we're allowing in the pulpit today is the very things that hurt us when we started going to church, including pulpit etiquette. You know, many people, you know, I was taught that when you go into certain churches, especially in the Methodist church, you sit on the right-hand side of the church in the front if you're a leader. I was taught, you know, if you're a visitor in the church, you don't just walk in the pulpit. You wait to be invited to a pulpit. I was taught that there are certain things you can and can't say and certain things you can and can't do in the pulpit. Nowadays, being in the pulpit ain't no different than being in the DJ booth.
Listen, when I started going to church, you couldn't touch. Those people, those mothers said, you can't, you don't play on the altar. Get away from the altar. You don't touch it. You couldn't, the do and remember for the table, that was sacred. I think, well, one church I went to didn't have one. So I think two churches I went to didn't have one for the table.
Absolutely.
But they were very sacred, but it was still certain things we just were not allowed to do. I never heard my pastor that I had, I never heard them say inappropriate things over the pulpit. I never heard them call people sissies. I never heard them call people faggots. I never heard them do that. They were always very encouraging and uplifting. I never heard those things until this era of church, this particular era, where now you can say those things in the pulpit. People get offended, cuss you out. You know, it just, you can tell that times, you can tell times are changing. And my overall concern about this is that when do we stop it? When do we stop? When do we say enough is enough? When do we really look at and dissect about transparency? It's okay to be transparent, but how transparent should you be? It's okay to say, it's okay to share your testimony or your story over the pulpit, but how? And what?
But don't share it to beat nobody up. You know, I hate going to a church and you talk about how you was a drug addict because you see a drug addict in the church or you see somebody who's high in the church or somebody who smells like weed. I hate going to a church where you want to talk about you was a hoe because you see somebody in the church that has multiple children and there happens not to be a man with them in the church along with their multiple children. I hate going to a church where you could tell the sermon switched over to homosexuality because it's a gay person in the church, not to mention half the download people that you got running the pulpit. But you don't, you know, I just feel like this is where the issue, like, if, and then we turn around, we say, but Christ is love. If Christ is love, why do I not feel the love when I walk through the doors of the house? Why did you change? You shifted your whole sermon. And there's a difference between utilizing your testimony to empower other people and using your testimony to take a knife and slice somebody's throat.
Right.
This is why churches need to cut testimony service sometimes, because Fred Hammond said it best. We don't know how to testify.
Nope. I told you my incident with testimony service, and this one person would testify, but it always would end with his life was almost taken because he was doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing. He bent down to pick a pencil up while driving. How do you bend down to pick a pencil up while driving?
Huh?
That's not a testimony. That's your craziness. Yes, the young, I will never forget it. He said that I was driving down the street. I was driving my car, and I bent down to pick a pencil up. And before I know it, I was, that's not a testimony. That's basically you telling.
Negligent driving.
You telling on yourself.
Absolutely.
Right, negligent driving. Extremely negligent driving.
Absolutely.
But it was, but he stood up to testify about this.
Because his negligence, his negligence brought him closer to Jesus, because his
because he was
right.
Like that.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to tell everybody. It was my own ignorance caused me to get a good relationship with God, because I almost killed myself. That was suicide. That was a suicide attempt.
Right. Right.
Because what were you doing to notice that a pencil was on the floor while you were driving?
You sure
he didn't look at
me? When your testimony make me question, I got questions.
Yeah, because the first thing they teach you in driving ed is check your mirrors, not your flow.
Right.
If it's on the floor,
and I think
you told me stop.
I think he said he needed the pencil or the pen. It was a pen. He needed it for something. But wait till you pull over and stop to pick it up.
Right.
This is like me saying, I thank God for not, you know, for allowing my life and not giving me STDs. But the day before, I just went to had unprotected sex with several people. It doesn't add up. Like, it doesn't match.
Thank the Lord, because yesterday I was at a sex party and I walked
right
out without HIV. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I don't have chlamydia. Thank you, Jesus. Like, that, you don't think that's all?
I'm not ready.
But I'm like the little boy. I'm tired of this church.
But that's the stuff we do. Right. But that's the stuff we do and say and try to get. But that's the stuff we do and we say. And again, another thing that people have to realize, we are in the 21st century. So what you think is for public consumption by your life may not be for public consumption. Sometimes it's okay to say, listen, let's turn the live off at this point, because I'm about to say some things that may not be suitable. Or let me do this. Let me come out the pulpit and stand on the floor and say what I need to say, because this doesn't need to be said at this point.
If it doesn't, if we have to go to that extreme, we just need to say, you know what, I put it on my Facebook.
Or we'll have a meeting about it.
Yeah, or we'll bring it to the church meeting. Yeah.
Right.
Because there's some things that you have to address, but it's how you say it. And what we're hearing and what we're seeing is people, again, are saying the wrong things. They're saying it, they're using profanity, or they're using derogatory.
But even with that, like, the young lady who was coming for that ass, you know,
the past wife.
Like, even with her, does she realize how small she looked? That you had to address a woman who simply called and said, I have a word for your husband?
She did it at first.
No. Like, because this is how I'm looking at it. You presented this to the people. And you said, and for the woman who said she had a word for my husband. you know, no, you have a word for us. Where in the Bible does it say the Lord will speak to the couple? So apparently the prophet that had the word must have been real good looking for her to get that intimidated that she felt the need to become hostile. But once again, we are in a reality TV world. And every sister who has been hurt by a dude stood up and said, I know that's right. Heifer, this is why you're single. Because you agree into the wrong foolishness. If you are solidified in your marriage and you know that what you got is a good thing and your good thing ain't already looking at somebody else for audition, why I gotta be threatened by a simple word? So if the woman of God was in church and she said to the man of God, the Lord said his wife would have walked from wherever she was in that church to stand by him, and she calls it covering her man, that's not covering, boo-boo. That's intimidation. Because you seen this preacher with thick thighs and juicy lips and big breasts, and you was flat as a board and looked a hot mess, and you decided, oh, I got to protect what's mine, because you were intimidated. Like, let's just call it, can we, for once at the in the black church, if we so, since we're so real and church is so real, can we for once be real about something? I can hear you, I think. Say something. Javon, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Maurice. Okay, nope, we can't hear you, Maurice. Sorry, I just got a text message. I just wanted to see what was going on.
Okay.
I don't know if he ends his line, if it would end the show. It probably would, but I hope not. But Maurice, I can't hear you. I can't hear what you hear.
Oh, all right.
All right, there he is.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I was saying that I felt like she was intimidated. I don't believe that, you know, I don't think it was a thing of you know, I felt like she was intimidated by the looks of the woman who had a word for her husband. And I said, I felt like she stepped out of line and out of character because she allowed her intimidation to get the best of her. And that's her own self-esteem issues. So, because where in the church have you ever seen someone who said, I have a word for your man, call somebody to become a whole threat to society?
I never.
Never in the history of neverdom has that happened, that someone said, I got a word for you, and it caused you to go into a whole uproar. That chick seen them big old bitties, or that big old peach that prophet had, and she knew that with her own insecurities and low self-esteem that she ain't had what that chick had, and the chick probably had her own natural hair instead of that big long weave you was flaunting on that pulpit, and you felt some type of way. I ain't never in the history of neverdom have I seen someone give a word to somebody and then somebody else walk from across the room to say, no, you got a word for us. No, I don't have a word for you. No, the Lord didn't speak to the couple. He spoke to the head.
Well, the part that's worse is the fact that this wasn't face-to-face. This was over inbox.
Yeah, that part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we don't know what the woman looked like because nobody saw her. It was just a simple fact that she was in the inbox releasing whatever she was releasing, whether it was right or wrong. We don't know that either. We weren't there. But
I'm just going by her account. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going by her account. Her account, you know, literally just said, you know, the woman hit the husband up and said, I have a word for you. But here's my thing. How many times have someone hit you out of the blue, Javon? You know, you're an apostle. How many times have someone hit you out of the blue that said, you know, hey, I have a word for you that you never met in person?
Right.
Y'all friends on Facebook.
I'm too often, but often enough.
I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, it's social media. So what I would have done is, A, I would have addressed it with my husband, not with the whole congregation. But then, B, I would have said, what's the word? Last time I checked, if a prophet is off, you're allowed to tell them they're off, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I know I have told many prophets that that's not God. So my issue still remains the same. This chick was intimidated by what she saw and what she lacked.
I agree. I'm just saying her intimidation didn't come from what she saw because she didn't see her.
And
I got an inbox for you, and Miss Prophet Preacher decided, let me click on them photos and on her profile and let me do what most hood chicks do. And try to figure out who this is. Telling my man, you got a word from my man. And my man, you just lost credibility, not just for yourself as a leader, but for your entire household.
That part.
And not even that, you also may have just killed a kingdom connection that might have saved your life. Because what happened if the word she had was a word of warning?
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't give it because you didn't already kill the atmosphere that I needed to be set with your jealousy. And that word, what should have been released, actually happened because of your stupidity.
Right.
That's how I look at it. I mean, I got people who hit me all the time, you know, from the U.S., from Africa, from different places, and they always got a word, and I'm like, okay, you know, you can release it, you know, because if it's off, I'm gonna tell you it's off. But that you know, it is what it is. And some are from men and many are from women. Now I'm gonna release it, and if it's up to you to receive it,
that's it.
Right.
I only deliver the mail. I don't know anything about it.
Exactly. Now, you done got on live TV, on a live stream, on live recording, and called this woman all types of hoes and all types of home wreckers, and you coming for her ass. First of all, you sound gay. But secondly, you just made yourself look like a regular nigga, an ignorant person. For those who's like, well, I got to be a black thing. No, she's just ignorant. And so now, behind that, how many members did you lose?
I don't think she lost any. I don't think there was any loss.
Do you think if there were, she would came back on live and say, you know, from my actions last week, we lost 2,700 members? She's not doing that.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
She's not doing that. You know she's going to say? Let them go. And I said what I said.
But that's why I think we really need to be careful with what we put out about on Facebook, on social media, and over. This is why I think this conversation needs to be had, because we really need to be careful with what we put out, because we could lose people. We could lose connections. We could lose benefit from this. And I think that it's important as understanding as who we are, as much as we're being transparent, as much as we're being honest, as much as we're being truthful, we have to be careful with what we put out and what we're saying over the pulpit and what we're saying on social media and what we're saying on live and what we're saying on those things. Because you can't, like you said, you can't go back and it's not like it was pre-recorded where you recorded it and you can go back and edit. No. Now we're live. And I remember, it's funny because I attended a church that has a television and a media ministry. They broadcast live on Sundays, but the funny thing is they broadcast live on Sundays, but they don't go Facebook Live in the building when there's preaching going on. And so one of the things that I learned how to edit. And sometimes Bishop would come to us and say, "No, edit. I don't like that. Let's do this and do that." So he would edit out certain things. He would give his opinion about, "No, don't put this in there. No, you spelled one time we spelled the word audacity wrong because he said audacity. So we're looking at how to spell the word audacity." I said audacity, but you said audacity. We heard or. So we're going to spell audacity.
I love it.
You said audacity. I had an audacity to survive. That was the title of the sermon. So I'll never forget that sermon. But he meant I had the audacity. So how you say things.
O-R-D-A-I-T-Y.
Audacity. That's how we spell it. But we got in trouble, though. We got in trouble, so we had to fix it. But what I'm saying is, this is why it's imperative to watch what you're saying across the pulpit, because you can mean no harm. You can mean no harm at all.
Right? Absolutely.
It ends up being harmful. That's why I'm very careful with what I say. Even though my mind wants to say certain things, I'm very careful or cognitive of what, and I'm looking at the crowd. I always know your audience. We say that in speech, drama. Know your audience.
Yes.
Because they are the members that I'm accustomed to every week. They know how I am. But what if I'm a visitor? What if I'm looking for a church home? What if I'm looking for a place to begin my ministry? And I go to your church and you say something profane or you are derogatory towards a group of people or this happens. So what, I'm not going to want to join your ministry. Now you got me out here searching all over again. And now I have to start from scratch. And that's where we have to be cognitive of what's being said, but more cognitive of our audience. Know your audience at all times. Know who's sitting in your audience. Know who's there. Know who's around you. And even with your members that have been around you for years, sometimes they may be tired of your rhetoric or what you're saying. And they're getting tired. They may need a fresh word, or they may be at the point of, "Listen, I'm tired of this church, and I'm tired of being a member of the church, so I'm going to go somewhere where it's feasible or where I'm going to be fed." So we got to be careful with that. We have to be extremely, extremely careful.
Yeah. I think Jesus said three times in the Bible to the same person, "If you love me, feed my sheep." You know, that didn't mean to give them anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we feed someone who is a child of someone royal, first of all, there has to be a proper table set. And they're not a member of your family. They're a guest. My granddaddy always said, "Treat your guests better than you treat your family." And so that is a big thing for me. you know, because many of us don't treat our family correct anyway. So we continually treat the guests the wrong way. But, you know, let's just be honest here. If we take the time, if you're a leader, and I say this to every leader that comes to me just for even advice, the first question I always ask a leader is, what did you write in the handbook? What did you write? You know, what did you prepare when it came to your etiquette training? What did you prepare for your leaders? You'll be surprised that the number one answer you get is, my leaders, I require them to go to school, or I require them to get training. Okay, that's good. But at the end of the day, what did you teach your leaders? They haven't been assigned to the school's church. They were assigned to your church.
Right.
And that's a poor stance from denominational training, that because this is how I had to do it, it's the right thing. No, it's not. You know, in Breakthrough, they can get all the training they want to get from any outside source, but they still got to train through me, because this is the house that God put me over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a local pastor, you still got to teach locally, because that's the house that God assigned to you. Yeah, I'm going to teach you how we do things on a fellowship level, but you need to teach your members how to do things on a local level, because this is your local house. It's not mine. And we're not a political church. We're a theocratical church. God speaks to the head, and the head speaks to the body and instructs and teaches the body. So, you know, I feel like we got to come out of that. I hate to hear, when I was such and such and such, this is what we did, and I do that here. Why? Y'all not, they not from that church. They not from that denomination. If I go to an apostolic church and they use Methodist hymn books, I'm in the wrong house. Your identity is confused. Even if I'm non-denominational and you're using someone else's property, you are confusing the identity of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying you can't use traits from other denominations? No. What I'm saying is exactly what I said. If nothing you have is authentically yours, your identity is mistaken. Period. So you have to teach the members as God has instructed you, or you failed the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably going to be the churchiest episode we've ever had since we started this podcast.
Well, I wanted to kind of touch on it because, again, we want to cover all types of topics. But I think I wanted to touch on this one because, we're seeing so many people say things over. But again, like I said earlier, like we're getting clips, and the clips are 2 minutes long, but it doesn't start where the beginning of the message started. It's where the offense happens. And mm-hmm. I think in this world of cancel culture where, you know, we're canceling, oh, we're going to cancel this person, we're canceling that person because of what they said and what they did, we need to look at that, because we know we're seeing what cancel culture is doing. Yes, you get canceled one day, it takes you years to recover from being canceled.
But if it's something that's being streamed, the good thing about something that's streamed is I can go back for complete evidence.
Right.
The problem, I don't think, is so much as what's being streamed. The problem is what's being recorded. If the church is in
that clip, that small, mm-hmm. we're taking it's being streamed, but their point of offense is that clip. Somebody
right.
said, "Oh, I'm going to screen record on my phone," and when they said this.
So that's
that,
when we
then,
have to do our due diligence as a people and go back and study the whole film. Because this is the same with Bishop Jakes, when Bishop Jakes said that the homes are confused because the women are confusing themselves with the roles of the men. And everybody took it as him saying that women can't be leaders and women can't be, you know, women can't be in charge and women can't, as much business that his wife runs.
Right.
You know, and completely threw it out of context when, in all actuality, what he was saying is, stop saying you can do everything a man can do because it don't look cute, boo. Because it takes away the femininity of what a woman was called to be. He's not saying you got to be slaves or you got to be a subjective. What he's saying is many of you don't have husbands because we don't know if I marry you, would you become the abuser of the family?
Because
everything you do is so harsh and so hard. You know, when you punish the kids, you ain't punishing the boys, you punching the boys. Because you ain't raising no soft boy. Then your boy can become a man and he becomes the one going to jail for choking the hell out of his wife because all he knows is he got hit. And what he wanted to do to you, he's now doing to his spouse. So there's ways to handle things. And generally, yeah, it's true. When there's a man in the house, most of the authority is coming from the male figure. I can try my mama, but I dare not try my papa because he was crazy as hell. You know, so, you know, every now and again when a boy becomes a man, he going to test you. Well, he won't test his dad because my daddy is crazy. My daddy, you have a look that says, I'm about to knock you out. My daddy has a look that says, I'm about to kill you. It's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the same in the church. You know, the church has the identity to be a healing station. But a healing station, you can't heal me if you're still bleeding. Like, if I can be candid, that's the reason I took a sabbatical for the first half of this year, because I was hurting.
Listen, I'm still on sabbatical.
And I'm still on sabbatical. Absolutely.
And until
God releases me from sabbatical with clear instruction, and until I've had time to go back to him and say, so, Daddy, this is what you meant, and this is what you want me to do, and he says, now you got it, I'm going to stay in sabbatical. Because I can't keep coming to the house of God to heal somebody, and my cut is still bleeding. I keep busting my stitches. And I can't lead if my wound is open because I'm allowing myself to now become contaminated by things that I may not even see. And contamination in an open wound causes infection. Infection makes a wound stink. So now not only am I cut, but I have the smell of something that's cut. And after a while, I'm going to be weak because the infection is eating me and I don't have no penicillin to heal. I don't have an antibiotic to keep myself from keep the infection from getting myself jacked up more. And I feel like that's the issue we have in the church. There's too many people who have not been trained. And we talked about it even in the midst of celebrity, being a celebrity or being an athlete or being an actor or being someone that somebody else is looking up to. You are coming into a new situation with your hood mentalities, and it's affecting the people. But as the bad part is in the church, we're scared of losing our fans too.
Mm-hmm. That we are.
If I don't do the what they want me to do, they'll leave. Then, baby, like T.D. Jakes said, let them go.
Yep.
If they can leave them that seat, they were never meant to be yours.
Right.
But the reason we fight for them is because most of the ones who are walking out are our family and our friends. Or it's the members who have been members of the church so long, whose tithe speaks to them, speaks for them, but actions you still can't find. I see your money, but I don't see your labor. But I'm scared to lose you because your money pays the bills. So I get it. You know, I get it. But after a while, people going to get tired of coming to your church with perfect condition and leave with a condition that might take them out today.
Because
if I'm trying to get over being angry and aggressive and I come to your church and you tell me you coming for somebody's ass, I'm going to be ready to go for somebody's ass as soon as I walk out the door.
I think we need to really deal. One place, we need to deal with our anger. We need to deal with our hurt. We need to deal with that stuff. We can't. Some things prayer is not going to always fix. There's some things that a couch and a therapist is going to help you with because you need to cope with that. There's some coping mechanisms you need. And a lot of people, they think that they always, and y'all, I mean, people can take this the wrong way, but I'm just being honest. Like, we're saying that, oh, I'm angry at so-and-so. I'm angry at this. My husband did me wrong, you know, because we're using things from the past. But we need to learn how to deal with our issues of anger and just deal with it and call it what it is. I have anger issues. And I need to deal with them.
Yeah.
Because I'm not delivered.
That's part of training. Prayer is a tool to faith. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. So even if I have the tools, if I ain't got the actions to show that I'm trying to heal from this thing, I'm still dead.
Right, but people don't, that's the problem. People don't want to work. They don't want to work on it. They think they're okay. They're living in a mindset that I'm okay. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay.
Yeah, they don't want to face that issue because they're scared of what might pop out. I can't face my problem.
You need to face it.
Yeah, we need to face it.
But you need to face it. You need to face it. You have to face it. Because at some point, it's going to, you're going to explode if you don't face it. You're going to blow up on someone, and you're going to do something and hurt somebody, and you're going to be like, oh, I didn't mean to. No. That's because you have unexpressed issues of anger that you have not dealt with, and now this is what's happening.
Absolutely.
Well, bros, I think we have covered. I think tonight's topic was great. We want to hear from you. If you all have some input, if you all have some things you want to share. We would love to hear your opinion.
Absolutely. You can definitely check us out on our social media accounts, The Brothers Podcast, on both IG and in Facebook. And leave your comments, your questions, your concerns. And as always, you can always call in and join us, 319-527-6083, 319-527-6083, only when we are live on the air. Season 12 episode, we're season 2 episode 12 in. We still got a lot of ground to cover this year. Oh, I think this is the churchiest episode since we've debuted. But this was good talk. This was good talk. Pulpit etiquette, I think, is needed. I think it's needed.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Any final thoughts?
All right. Thank y'all for joining us again each week.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, until next time, all the way from the city of brotherly love, we got our brother Javon in the building, all the way from the city that they call the Charm City, where you have to be more careful, our residential educator, philosophical major, and educational leader. Maurice is in the building, and from the first state where they just let anything happen. It's your boy Dre.
Really?
Listen, I live here. I could talk about it. we hope you guys have enjoyed tonight's podcast. We love you. To our loyal listeners and our friends of the show, we thank you as always for tuning in. Next week, same time, same place, 7:30 again next week. We are back in our regular hours. We are back from our vacations and our time, our brief mid-show, mid-season hiatus. We are now going to close this season out real good. We're going to take another hiatus closer to the end of the year, just so y'all know. Praise him. you know, but we're excited. We thank you guys for listening, and we really want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. So please, let's do this. Third person who comments on our Facebook page, I'm gonna send something to you. Let's see who really runs things here. Third person who comments on our Facebook page, we got something for you on behalf of the Brothers Podcast. So it's the third person that comments on our Facebook page. Once again, our Facebook page is the Brothers Podcast Media, I believe. Same thing on IG. Look us up. You'll see three handsome dudes that look like we just came out of the White House. We probably did, because we run things like that. But we thank you guys for listening. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys on next week. Cue our outro.